What up, what up?
What's up with it?
All right, man. Welcome back to the One Point Sports Podcast. It's episode 8 with your hosts, Vonnie and Nico. Shaq was supposed to join us, but, you know, knowing him, he's probably asleep or off on an adventure. So we'll kind of just get get started without him.
If he on an adventure, it's probably one that a certain somebody, you know, I ain't even gonna go there, bro.
But anyway, but anywho, man, a couple weeks ago, Nico and Shaq pulled up on me, man. We kicked it, had a good time, watched a lot of anime. Oh, here you go, right here. We thought you was off on an adventure.
Yeah, we thought you was on another one.
Hey, look, I clicked it the first time, it took me nowhere, then I had to cancel out, but I'm here now.
All right, so like I was saying, man, Shaq and Nico pulled up on me, I think like 2 weeks ago. We kicked it, had a good time, watched a lot of Hunter x Hunter. I'm all the way caught up now. And so, you know, we're going to go back. I know like the last two episodes been about Hunter x Hunter, but this will be the last installment. We're going to dive in this Chimera and art, you know, so I'll let Nico start us off real quick.
All right, y'all. So, you know what I'm saying? If y'all haven't seen Chimera Ant Arc and Hunter x Hunter, listen to me. Y'all are missing out on arguably, I don't care who you are, what you're talking about. This arc is a top 5 arc in anime history. It is that good. It's very rare that we have anime that fully develops characters to the extent that this arc did for it, both its main cast and its minor characters. Okay, so for a quick rundown on what the arc is about, you know what I'm saying? For anybody who's watched Hunter x Hunter, and if you haven't, it'll still somewhat, make sense. Chimera Ant arc takes place after Greed Island. Okay, so you have, you know, as y'all know, Hunter, being a hunter is such a broad term.
Right.
You know, you can be a million different things, a million different types of hunters, you know, per se. And there are hunters who are wild beast hunters. And there's a small group in the NGL, which is this country founded by, what's his name?
Gyro. Yeah.
And Gyro, whatever you want to call him. But you getting that later. But in this country, it's like, essentially to me, it looks like it's supposed to be like an Africa of sorts. You know what I mean? But in this country, this giant ant, mutated ant, that's like bigger than human, than a human, than like a typical human, washes ashore. And soon she gets on shore, she starts eating. And she starts reproducing because she's a queen ant. Now, these hunters, you got these special hunters who are wild beast hunters who start seeing all these different offspring coming from this queen ant. And, you know, they're mutated. They're big ass or bigger than humans. So they send word back to the Hunter Association and try to hunt them down and get to the queen themselves. They run across these ants that are rapidly mutating and becoming stronger. Like, the more birth she gives, the stronger they're getting consistently. Nice. And now they've gotten to the point they're taking guns from humans and shooting humans. And so the whole whole point of this arc is kill the queen before she gives birth to a king who's unstoppable.
But,
you know, these ain't regular ants. Like, watching this reminded me, like, if ants are even half the size of humans, we will lose badly.
Fact. No cap.
And so, yeah, and that's all this arc is about. It's essentially kill the queen, but she turns and has the king instead, and the king is so crazy strong, he rips his way out of her stomach. Like, he's way early. You know what I'm saying? He kills her in the process. But so all this about is, this is a threat to humankind now. These ants are not only, the queen got a taste for human, and so they began eating humans, all the ants. So as a result, you know, we have basically a plague on land now. We got to get rid of the ants in order to protect humankind. So that's what this arc is about, how the Hunter Association tackles that. And with that, we'll open up the floor for open thoughts.
But that's what it's about. But when you get down to it, like towards the end, you like, these ants really ain't that bad. Because really, when their human part, like conscious awakens or starts kicking in, then, you know what I'm saying, their whole mentality changes. Well, some of them, because back to when you mentioned like shooting people with guns, Buddy had that pistol and had way too much fun with it. He was probably crazy. But,
yeah, but other, than that,
the ants aren't really that bad.
I mean, really, to me, it's like they bad to us because they killing humans, but to them, they just doing what they was like made for. Like, their animal instinct.
That's like the beginning of the arc, but I'm talking about like towards the end, like they kind of and some of them like they switch, like some of them switch their diet. Like towards the end, they don't even like eat humans anymore, basically, for the most part.
Yeah, like most of them like really start to remember who they were, like humans, and that kind of like changes them. And then you know when the queen dies, it's kind of like, well, shit. They started like,
she was the one eating the human. No. I take that back. She was the only one eating humans, but the rest of her, the rest of the soldier ants started getting a taste, and so a lot of them started eating humans too on the side.
Yeah, when she was looking, like some of them, they kept doing what they was doing, but it was like a couple of them that was like, "Yeah, I don't want to do this no more." Yeah. I kind of went about to like start their own lives,
right,
or like pick up where they left off before they got eaten.
So really, my only thought on that is like this arc is kind of. It's kind of tricky because you think of antagonists and protagonists in like basically in one situation, but towards the end of the arc, and then even when Miriam comes back to life and everything is resurrected, you kind of get the look at it like, damn, are the ants really that bad? Are they really that much of a threat?
Yeah, it was crazy, and you know. All right, yeah, we're in the overall thoughts. Okay, so we're getting a little specific right now. What are y'all's overall thoughts on this arc?
It was great. Like you said, I definitely fuck with the arc.
Yeah, most certainly, because it was just like stuff happening that had me like, what the fuck? Or it was kind of like the way like characters like changed throughout the arc,
right?
And how like when we first saw him interact with the ants, it was like one way. But as the continual interactions and as people really started to see the power of some of the ants, you kind of got to see like some people's like true colors or how much they could honestly handle.
Right, yeah. Especially when you see like, when you see Gon and Killua go against that first ant, to how Killua can kill like 10 on his own. Just like, we always talk about the character development, but it definitely has some of the best character development overall.
Yeah, it was sort of unmatched. I haven't seen anime be able to do that in general, but let alone in such a short amount of time. Usually it takes a full show or something. It was beautiful to see, and this is like one of the rare arcs, which we'll get into in a little bit, where I felt like some of the minor characters became more important than the main cast and were better developed, and essentially became better characters, you could argue.
I guess you got a point with that one. I didn't think about it like that, but that is definitely a good point to make.
Okay, so for our first specific topic here within, you know, the ant arc, I put Netero, the antagonist, with a question mark, because we understand the Hunter Association came down to defeat the ants, but did Netero become the antagonist in that process, make the Hunter Association no longer a protagonist? And the reason I say that, we saw how well-developed Miriam was, the king ant was, and he refused to fight outright. He thought that words and talking it out was the way to go. And anybody who watched this arc knows that's such a stark contrast to how he used to be. So, do you guys think Netero became an antagonist? And what are your thoughts on Netero overall? And, you know, how he was in the arc?
I feel like Netero more so was an anti-hero. Because, you know, anti-heroes don't necessarily stay in the good, but they don't all the way go to the bad. Because this, like, his main goal in life was to find a worthy opponent. And it just so happened that this opponent happened to be Miriam, which coincided with the Hunters Association's main goal, which was to eliminate the ant. So it was kind of like two birds with one stone for him. And it was just like his pride and his want to find like a worthy opponent made sure it was like, you didn't care about words, you want to fight. Because it's like, how long has it been since he had somebody he could really like go up against?
See, I'm not. I would say he didn't become an antagonist only for the simple fact that even when him and Miriam were exchanging words before they fought, Miriam said that he would kind of put like only keep like worthy humans in like a certain country or area of space, and then he would only use violence when necessary, and then basically like the weaker ones would be like the food for the ants. So that part of it, I would say he didn't turn into an antagonist, because even though Miriam kind of changed because of Kagumi, kind of got him to change and from being so ruthless to kind of being more compassionate, I would say Tegley didn't become an antagonist, because even though he gained some compassion and everything, he still had his plans for the ants and still was going to take over, eat humans, and only leave worthy ones in a area, country of their own. So I only for that reason, when Miriam said that, I still kind of viewed him in a hero manner.
Yeah.
Back to how he was willing to like sacrifice everybody in the whole palace in that area just to kill the Ant King. Once again, it's like anti-hero. Like, he gonna complete his goal by any means necessary.
I mean, to his defense now, it was really only ants in the castle. No, never mind, because going to them had just got in there.
Yeah, and it's like, and he slaughtered the whole group that was in the castle initially, besides the assistant to the king. Mm.
Yep.
Well, hey, man, but things got to get done to be done, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, you ain't on.
So that's how I feel about that part.
I mean, yeah, man, it's just, I don't know, like, Netero, like you said, he might be, anti-hero might be a better term. I get both sides of it. It's just, I don't know. I feel like, I still personally feel like if he sat down and talked with the Ant King, he could have probably convinced the Ant King that there was another way, you know, that they didn't have to do it that way. Like, he didn't have to eat humans at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need an army. Because if you're this much stronger than everybody now, you need no army, because by yourself, you can do
that. But I will say, something, you know, if Miriam was the person he was after he was resurrected, then I would definitely say Netero was the antagonist. Because resurrected Miriam was totally different.
Well, that boy is soft as sharp.
He probably would join the Hunter Association and live the normal life of Kagome.
That's
how I'm looking at it.
Also, okay, so we can talk a little bit of that combat too, man. I love seeing Netero finally in action, right, bro.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? 100 type Guayoin.
His praying attack.
Yeah, that Buddha statue.
That thing, and it's crazy because when P2 used her Terpsichore, which is supposed to be activated in less than a tenth of a second, his was still faster. Yep. His attack was so fast, he was able to tell her, "I'll prepare for many outcomes, but you chose a bad move."
Smacked her 100 miles away, and the only reason why, because she had that doctor attack or whatever that doesn't move, so that stopped the momentum.
Yeah, really, he was so. And the craziest part, for as strong as he was, he didn't do nothing to Miriam. He had to cheat. He had to use an atomic bomb to take him out, bro, and like kill him with
that. The one thing I wish, like, they kind of talked about or got into, like, why did he have that, like, put in him? Like, why? Because if he had...
Hey, look, you got to stay ready at all times. But look, though, the thing... You never know.
On me.
You know how confident you have to be that, like... Because obviously, he's like 100 plus years old. You know how confident you have to be, like... Because as soon as your heart stops, or your heart can stop from a heart attack, you can just die or just on a normal day, and then that shit going to blow up.
Shoot.
That's why
he knew he was going to die in battle.
He got it, but no, he got it put in specifically for that fight. He got it put in after the dude called him saying that he wanted. Like, if you read it in the manga, it says he got that the dead man's rose, the poor man's rose, implanted solely after talking to the whoever is above the Hunter Association, who told him, like, no excuses, he has to take out the ants. So it wasn't like he'd been had it and had just been waiting, what I'm saying, on a rainy day or something.
The way they made it seemed like he had it for a while. So that's why I was like, how would
you... And then, like, another thing, too, bro, is, like, you know, at the time, everybody saw him as the strongest. So I'm like, remember when he first talked to the ants that, like, came to their side? They was just like, he was just like, yeah, so how do I play? And they were like, yeah, they way strongest. So just imagine, like, somebody, if you're the strongest, and, like, your opponents, like, are said to be stronger than you, and you die... how is everybody else on fast? So you had to have that like extra insurance plan just in case.
See, and my and another issue, I know we're kind of I'm definitely gonna get off topic with this, but why not? See, the thing, like, I don't get about the Hunter Association. Like, I understand Nedro's the strongest. Like, that's why he's the commissioner, right? Or what's he?
He was a head chairman.
Head chairman, right. But why not call in the Zodiac? Like, you have a whole group of hunters, a specific group of the best hunters, and not call them in. That's what I'm like, what? Like, why not? And they all knew what was going on, too, because in the meeting they had, one of them mentioned to the other one, like, didn't you want to fight the ants by yourself anyway?
Oh, yeah. You talking about when they first got to town, him, Nav, and Moral?
I'm talking about when they was getting ready. They're getting ready to figure out how they're going to vote for the next chairman. And all the Zodiacs are at the table, and then one of them mentioned, why didn't he call us in? And then one of them was like, well, some of us are too selfish. And then they mentioned that another one of them wanted to fight the ants all on their own. But like, you have a team, like, you have a squad, you have the Avenger version of hunters, and not use them.
No, but here's the whole thing. The hunter group they sent down was competent, but it was weak because that's not who Netero actually wanted. But Periston, who's the assistant chairman, made it wouldn't let him. He barely allowed for Netero to take down those two.
I hate that. You seem lame.
Nah, he seemed mad strong to me.
He is. He just deuce.
I mean, I'm sure he's strong because he's part of the Zodiac, but like, he's just lame.
I don't know, bro. I think it's hilarious. I mean, the fact that he was even assistant chairman was solely because Netero wanted a challenge. You know, he liked challenges in life.
Yeah, and he wanted to make it tough on himself. He was going to get along with.
Yep. And so, Periston, you know, purposely made it difficult and sent down a stealth team instead of, like, an all-out team because, Lord knows, he would have probably took Gene down there with him.
Boy. Should have brought the whole... Matter of fact, stuff probably would have been so much smoother if they even brought, like, even like three or four of them. Don't even need all 12. Just bring three or four.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like I said, man, it was beautiful to see. And like, you know how he started warming up? That first they were taking out the ants one by one, you know, the squadrons. They would drop them into Nav's room and let Netero slaughter them. You know, he started warming up. And then he randomly leaves everybody. Infiltrates into the NGL, into the east area where they need to be, starts meditating for days, praying in days in advance, and telling them, all I need you to do is separate the guard.
Don't do anything else. I'm gonna go ahead and meditate and get right, and y'all just make sure they separate. And actually, I mean, I guess they kind of, well, I'm not gonna say they separated them, but they definitely kept them occupied for them, because Killua's grandpa did separate.
Yeah, he was supposed. I mean, he did what he was supposed to, though. He threw the entire palace into
disarray.
Right. Yep. And I don't know, man. It was just beautiful. Netero really played his role, and he said himself he had to attack him quickly because if not, his heart was gonna melt, and he would no longer have to fight.
Because you gotta think about it. Like, from what he heard, and then what he probably had in his mind that whole time he was meditating, like, this is a ruthless king, like. He's gonna, you know what I'm saying? He's cutthroat. He's a savage. But when they actually when he saw the compassion he showed for Kagome getting injured, and then even his words after, like, Kamugi, whatever. I'm thinking about Inuyasha. But, but like, you just to see the way he was acting when he actually got around him, that probably messed his head up a little bit. And then even when they got to the battleground and was talking for a second, he knew, like, he had to fight him, or he wouldn't even have wanted to anymore, seeing the type of person he actually is.
My bad. What was the last thing said?
Oh, I was talking about Miriam and Netero, and how Netero kind of had to, from what he probably had in his head, from what he was hearing, and then when he actually seen Miriam for the first time, like, care for her. That probably messed his head up. Like, wow, he's compassionate. But like I said, remember, before, though,
they
like,
didn't even attack him. They didn't even attack. You show right because they didn't even attack him right there, and they could have.
But the thing about it, like when you really like, that's Netero even mentioned it during their fight when he said the king's gonna have a battle, and like, and he doesn't even know it. Like his human's part and his ant side, like he's gonna have an internal battle. And it turns out he was right, and he kind of picked the human side when he was resurrected.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, moving forward with the next subtopic. We got the development of Gon and Killua in this arc. What did y'all think about that? I thought personally they trended in opposite direction. Yeah, me too, greatly. But I was going to say, I thought they trended in absolute opposite directions. Killua used to be the one who was never in touch with his emotions or reality per se because he lived in a bubble as an assassin so long. Gon had been teaching him how to love. Exactly. And then we saw the exact opposite happened. Killua began to feel anguish, love for his friend, you know, hurt that his friend was hurting. Mm-hmm. We saw Gon trend towards more inhuman, especially with how bad he did P2 in the end.
That was wild.
You know, like, yeah.
That no, was, when he sat down, he's like, I don't care. Figure it out. And then she told him, yeah, he can't be a vibe. And you just seen him lose it completely.
See, the like, one thing, that was, see, the one thing I'm going to say, the one thing I didn't like about that arc was how quick Gon like built such a deep connection with Kite. Like, don't get me wrong, understand, like, he probably was the first person your dad trained. Like, he found your, like, he's trying to do what you did. He found your dad and all of that. But when you actually think of the timetable to what, like, how much of a connection Gon had to Kite. And to the end, when he did everything to Pito and what he even did to his own body to get to that point, that's the one thing I didn't like. Because you basically met him, knew him for a week, he got killed, and now you don't, the Kite's the only thing on your mind. No. That's the one thing I don't like. What you saying, Nico?
My bad. where the anime messed up is they showed his relationship with Kite too late. Like that ruined it. Like, cause you know, for a while I was thinking, why is he feeling this strong about Kite? He just met the dude.
That's the one. That's the only thing. Like, because if he's doing that for somebody he knew for a week, like if Killua got killed, Gon's gonna destroy the whole world. Mm-hmm. If you use that for comparison, because that's the one thing I'm looking at. Like, you barely knew him, and now that's the only thing driving you. Like, I want Pito for myself. I don't care about y'all can have the king and other world guards. I want to fight Pito for Kite. I'm about to take Pito to fix Kite. Oh, Kite's dead. Like, his whole psyche snapped. And he went from a 14-year-old kid to like a grown man in his probably late 30s, early 40s. And he accessed power. He forcibly advanced his body to a point where like not basically what Netero did, he did in like 10 seconds out of emotion.
No, but he didn't do that out of emotion. He had to sign that contract way before that point. Remember? That's what they're saying. Like, the only way that could be done, you have to sign a contract.
But when would he have had a chance to do that?
He had a lot of time whenever training and just relaxing and lounging. Nobody knows when, but he had to sign, like, a contract thing.
Right. That's wild, man. For somebody he barely knew.
No, but he knew him well. The first scene in the manga, the first scene...
Oh, when he saved him.
It's actually him getting saved by Kite.
But even then, so like,
the relationship
Kite
was there.
Saved you, yeah. But it's not like he saved you and then went on about his business to find your dad. It's not like he saved you, took care of you for a year, taught you everything you know, raised you. You know what I'm saying? Like, he saved you and kept it pushing. Slapped you for making him kill an animal and kept it pushing. That's the one thing that's a little weird. Like, that was a deep connection for something that for people that barely knew each other. But character,
yeah, but that, you know, that probably read.
But character development wise, it was, I guess, yeah, it was good for Gon and Killua, especially when Killua removed Illumi's needle.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. That's when he became a fight for my friends type of nigga. You know what I'm saying?
That's when he reached his full potential, because he turned super savage after that. He kind of turned back into the Killua we seen during the Hunter exam for the first time.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, it's just, I feel like Gon regressed as a character. It was great character development. When I say regressed, he had such an open view of the world. It's literally like they juxtaposed him and Killua directly, because he became the one with this anguished view after the death of Kite. All he could think about was revenge.
Right. Yeah, that's all he wanted.
Nothing was the same for him. He didn't care about anything but being strong enough to get that revenge. You know
right.
I mean?
Yeah, I want.
Meanwhile, Killua was just trying to make sure.
Oh, you ain't missed too much of nothing, really. We're still just talking about Gon and Killua, and we were just going on talking about how. Well, I was talking about how his relationship with Kite was kind of. I mean, I understand. You know, Kite saved his life when he was. But he really just went on about his business after that. It's not like he raised him. So, like, Gon doing all of that because of Kite's death was a little stretch.
I mean, like, Gon to me is like slick emotional in a sense. And, like, he was close to Kite because it's like, no, he pretty much grew up without his dad. And, like, Kite, in a sense, was kind of like that dad figure.
No, he was. I mean,
yes, he was, bro. Yes, he was.
Like, you know how, like, most animes do, like, the male, like, teachers is kind of like a father-son relationship in a
but
sense.
But he barely knew Kite, though. That's the thing. Because other animes, like, the person that takes that father figure role is like Piccolo and Gohan. Piccolo's always there for Gohan from a kid to an adult. Kite saved Gon once as a kid. Then Gon never sees him again until this Chimera Ant arc, and then he meets, they're together for a week or two, and then Kite's dead, and now the only thing on his mind is avenging Kite. That's a stretch.
Yeah, but you gotta understand too, like, Gon really cares about his fans.
Man, he knew that.
He cares a lot about them. I mean, with Piccolo and Gohan,
you
go. Gohan started to care about Piccolo, even though, like, the first time he saw him, Piccolo was a deuce.
But I'm saying, though, like, that was, like, built up, like, that's from, like, from being a kid to an adult. Even as a teenager, like, because Piccolo spent all types of time with Gohan as a kid and a teenager. Like, Kite and Gon don't have that. That's why I'm looking at, like, I understand you're saying the father figure part of it, but it's a little bit of a stretch because they barely spent time together. Even when he saved Gon.
Bro, but that was more than he spent with his own dad.
Yeah.
And the dude knew his dad, so he essentially filled that role.
It's a stretch. I see what you're saying, but it's a stretch because it wasn't that much time.
Bro, so you tell me it takes time. If you never spent any time with your dad in your life, and somebody male finally shows you some attention, you know what I'm saying, like that, like of what you imagine
to the
father
extent
would do.
Of like what it was to Gon, yes, bro, that's a stretch. I'm not gonna say.
Nigga saved his life, bro. He saved his life
as a kid. Kite killed the animal, smacked Gon for making him kill the animal, and went on about his business to find Gon's dad. Then Gon never sees this guy again until the Chimera Ant arc, and then the guy, I don't want to say he saves Killua because the ants were like regular ants, but he destroyed that ant thing, smacked both of them for making him destroy that ant farm, and then they joined him on his mission for like a week.
Alright, here's a good example of that. You ever seen One Piece?
Yeah.
Remember Luffy and Shanks?
They spent way more time together.
Well, Luffy first met Shanks like randomly when he was
and
kid.
They and Shanks took
saved his life and sacrificed his arm.
That wasn't their first time meeting at all.
Yeah, when
they were at that bar and then and he ended up losing his arm for Luffy, that wasn't within a week of them meeting. That was like years of time. Because every time Shanks came back from overseas, Luffy was kicking it with him. He was spending time with him, always with him.
Yeah.
That's different. If you can find me an anime that shows that have that much connection from such little time, I need to see it.
Saint Seiya.
Yeah, I can feel it.
Boom. Literally. Literally. Saint Seiya.
Okay, so moving on. Next up, next question. Should we have seen more Kite?
Nah. I mean, in what aspect? Like, just in general, or like his power, or...
We'll say in both in the arc and in general. Now, I did wish selfishly to see more of his power in the arc, because we only saw him roll the same thing, right. The same two things. We saw the gun, we saw like the shotgun type thing, we saw the mace, and the we saw line. The scythe twice. Like, I wanted more, man, because if he didn't like those roles, I need to see.
I mean,
what roles
in that
he
regards,
liked.
Too, yeah, because every he got those three roles, but he always was like sad about it. So, I kind of, like you said, I kind of want to see, because though to me, those weren't even like bad weapons to roll. So when you put it like that, I guess I want to see what he likes to roll. Like, what's his go? Like, what number does he hit to get what he wants? But not, I don't necessarily think we need to see more of Kite, because it might have took away from, because Kite's death, because Kite's death was kind of an avalanche thing for everybody.
I think to me, he saved his papers, because it's like his death for Gon and Killua made him realize, okay, we weak, because
right.
Pretty much we
got. We need to train, because if
and
they got
death
Kite,
to all the.
They can hear us. So I think his death played like a very important role just for everybody and whatever and for everything that followed after.
Yeah, and then like his death to the unhunters was like, you know, when they lost that first group of like low level hunters, they were like, okay. But when they lost Kite, it was kind of like, okay, yep. Kite was pretty powerful in his own sense.
Right. That kind of
so we got taken out by ants.
That's kind of that kind of got the Hunter Association to kind of take it a little bit more serious. Like, damn, they killed Kite. So we gotta, you know what I'm saying? We gotta take him, well, not as serious as they should have, because they got the Avengers of Hunters just sitting with their hands across their laps.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's just, I don't know, man. Go ahead.
Still, we want to be technical. We technically do still have Kite again, just not the Kite that we knew.
Right, I was gonna bring that up, actually, because at the end, when they're doing their calls and following up, that girl keeps saying she's Kite.
Yeah, she is. She is. She's Kite reincarnate via ant, just like the other ants are the reincarnate of
right.
Different.
So that, I'm excited to see what they go with that.
Yeah, I mean, she has the memories, but we don't know if she'll have the powers.
Right. Yeah, that's what I really want to see too, because they really haven't gone back to that.
And then that's gonna mess Gon's head up all the way.
No, he's gonna like that, because that means Kite is alive.
True. But I wonder how he was reincarnated when they didn't eat his body.
They eat the brain. They don't eat the bodies of most of humans. They eat the brain.
Yeah, the brain got the most value to them.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Okay, next up. We got Morel and Nob. What are y'all thoughts on them two?
Morel is the one with the smoke, right? Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, boy, I love
definitely
dude,
one
bro.
Of my favorite characters. Which one was Nob?
Nob was the one that had the portals.
Had the what?
Them little like the little apartment dimension.
Yeah, he was the one who got so shook by
the dude could do the hide and seek power.
Yeah, Nob was the one who got so shook by what he thought was Pito's aura, but was actually
Poof. No, Poof.
What's the other one?
Was it Poof?
Poof. It was Poof's.
What,
yeah, it was Poof's aura.
Is Pito Poof?
Yeah, it was
and
Poof's
what's
aura.
The other one?
Yopi.
It was Yopi, I think.
Yopi. No, it wasn't Yopi. It was.
Oh, okay,
I'm
it was
telling
Poof.
You, it was
okay.
Poof.
But yeah, Morel and Nob, those are some. I fuck with both of those
it's
characters.
Like Nob for me. What got me was, you remember how like when Gon and Killua first got back after Kite died, Nob was really like talking down on him, like you really ran away, and so it was like useless y'all were and everything. But when he ran into that aura, he got so scared, like he just like no matter what, he just
nigga lost all his hair, bro.
Like
his hair turned gray,
bro. But and he was even like, remember when he was like shaking, he was like, I don't see how Gon and Killua can like go up to her and be like, yeah, I'm about to go face that again after they ran away the first time. So to me, it was like
he was talking all that smack, and then like when the time came, he wasn't like up to par either.
But yeah, but like last thing for me, really, I just like Morrell and Nov because one, they both think. Nov more so like in a like a stressful way, like he stresses him out the way he think. Morrell's kind of like, okay, like he's just 20 steps ahead in the fight, and so he's always ready. Even when he got trapped in that in T2's dimension, he was 20 steps ahead, just chilling.
But even when he was fighting the dude that, dang, the lion dude that stole his homie ability.
Yep. Either way,
that boy was thinking so far ahead. He said, "You don't want to try me here in the water." He said, "I'm the greatest sea hunter." You know, he's a deep sea hunter. He said, "I'm the greatest sea hunter. Got the most lung capacity in the world." That boy sat at the bottom with the smoke.
And just bro, released CO2 into the air. Crazy. Man,
and then, you know, he did Chi-2 so bad in his own dimension. That boy stressed him out, had him over there reading manga and laughing, and made a smoke version of himself, covered himself, used the smoke to make the grass over himself, crawled around while also using smoke to loop around and hook to the ankle, Chi-2. Bro, he just... Dude, man, he made me truly believe that anybody can beat anybody in a fight if you know how to use the right and strategize.
Because that smoke you got is lethal.
Most certainly. Like, boy, he soldiers... objects, copies of himself.
Yeah, I'll say this too, man. Nov was potent, man. It was just he got so shook. Like the whole thing is, they had to trust Nov because they sent him on his own to infiltrate the most well guarded, you know.
Place I mean, in the world, he was competent. You saw how he took out that one ant and everything.
Yeah, but what? Here's my whole thing with that. He set himself up. Why didn't he just drop the body into the dimension?
I thought about that too. I don't know, but you know what?
He dropped the body in there. There's no blood, no evidence, no nothing.
Smart.
You know what made me laugh? I was talking about when Vonnie was like, it was either you or Vonnie that was like, when we was watching, he was like, you know, I'd be pissed if they told me to like make all these portals and then I do it. Risk my life, and you're like, yeah, we only gonna use one.
Hey.
You literally got to click on them. You ain't going to never get in on the first try.
All right, what was y'all saying? Because for some reason, it did like a weird echo. So what was y'all just saying?
I was saying Nov. I was saying he's potent, but, you know, he could... There were some foolish mistakes that he made, like leaving his shoes, leaving the body where he could have dropped... He literally could have, you know, decapitated the ant and then dropped the body into his dimension.
I wonder why. Well, he was kind of sweating. Like he didn't think he was going to get in the that little castle so easily, and then even when he got in, he didn't think like moving around was going to be so easy. So it was probably one of those, this is too good to be true, I need to hurry up and do what I got to do so I can get out. I think he could get out.
I don't know, man. And then, like, you know, the other part, the other story with Nov and Morrell is also looking at their apprentices, which let me tell you something.
Their relationship with their apprentices is interesting, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, only one who I thought really was doing something was obviously Knuckles, but I don't know, man. Knuckles and them, I understand just how strong the Royal Guards are because essentially they make for they're probably like the three strongest people outside of the king in the universe, right? Well, maybe. Mm-hmm. We still don't know for sure Paris or Jing or even beyond how powerful they are, I guess. So, I mean, I guess. But overall, we know they're like top three. Top five. And so, I don't know, man. Knuckles, I loved his ability because what he could do. But I never got... We only saw it successfully bankrupt one person that was gone. When it was gonna bankrupt Yuppie, he let Yuppie out. He let Yuppie, the stupidest out the group, you know, outsmart him. So,
but at that when he let Yuppie go, that was after Yuppie kind of like, because remember his whole body structure changed. He kind of got a little bit smarter and everything. So I wouldn't say he kind of talked. He was like, because he wanted to save Morrell's life, and Yuppie was like, "I'll spare him if you get rid of this."
Yeah, but if he, but the whole thing is, he would have beat Yuffie. How long did they say he needed, bro?
Like 30 more seconds. I think like 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like, he could have just threw himself at Yuffie, and yeah, that was the other thing with this arc too. The concept of time, man. So much was happening in so little time, but you know, it
that
felt
was
like
crazy.
It
was
forever.
Like, that's, man, like. Cause they said that initial like infiltration.
Yeah,
when they was and the chameleon coming out of and was holding his weapon, like it seemed long, but that was really like the course of 2 minutes.
But like I remember when they was going to one of the next episodes, they was like only ten minutes have gone by since the invasion. And I'm like, that's it. Like the whole castle was destroyed, people was dead. Netero and Miriam were off to fight. Like that was a crazy 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Killua's dad popped in for a hot second to catch a body, then left.
Hey, that was my favorite kill in the entire like arc, bro. That was my favorite.
And then all
kill,
he said was, "Should I have spared him? Like, dang, should I have killed him? Because you know they don't kill if he getting paid for
it." Yeah. Here's the whole thing. I don't. Zeno, without the father with him, without his son with him, I don't know if Zeno would have been enough to kill. I don't know if Zeno. I don't know, man. I know he's dumb powerful, but I'm just saying. We saw him struggle. I don't know, because we saw him, you know, struggle. Well, Carlo is a different beast, though.
Right. And the thing about that fight with, like, none of them was trying, but like you said, they even said, like, Carlo probably could have beat him if he was trying. But then that just, now that only made me curious to see how strong Carlo really is.
Carlo powerful, bro. He just be BSing, truthfully.
I need to see that. Like, I will hopefully in the next season they go into that, but I definitely need to see how
he's gonna kill Hisako. You know what I'm saying? So you'll get to see that, but he has like a whole plan he formed for the fight, so mm-hmm. he kind of cheated. But I'm sorry, we getting off. we getting a little bit off right there. Let's get back. Thoughts on the King's Royal Guards?
I love them.
I thought they each embodied a different human element. Yuffie was somebody of duty. He cared about the king in his way, strictly in terms of doing his job, protecting the king, making sure the king was safe.
Too.
Okay. Yeah, then you got Poof. Poof only cared about his version of how he viewed the king. He was selfish. He only wanted things to be for him and for the king, and he wanted the king to be what he imagined the king should be, which was how the king initially was. Then you have P2, who was the only person to actually be in touch with the king's feelings personally,
right,
and to understand his human side.
Yeah. Overall, I'm gonna say I like them. If I had to rank them, I would go with P2, UP, and then Poof, just because Poof was real weird about the king. Like, he was like, they all cared about him. He was like in love with the king. Like, if he could have the king,
yeah, I thought it that
all for himself, he would. Cause even then,
yeah, I think that was implied that you know, he was kind of into the game like that. Unless we're reading him wrong, because
he kind of set P2 up to kind of get killed when he had what was the dude's name, Wolfham or something?
Yeah,
when they had him make that call, he was basically sending P2 up to be killed.
He did that purpose.
He lied and told her that, had dude lie and told him and told P2 that they had her now, so it's nothing to worry about. So she was like, all right, I'm with this fight going now. But he basically set her up to die and not even knowing it.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know, man. And then it's crazy because she's the strongest out of the three when it certainly seems like. It seems like Yuffie was the strongest, but he wasn't.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know. You knew she was serious when she pulled up on Kite and took that man on. Yeah. You knew he was serious.
Man, he was distracted though. That's another thing. Like, man, if he was focused, not worrying about nobody else, he might have been all right.
I think he still would have lost.
No, he was gonna lose.
He was gonna lose, but I don't think
she was strong. Dude, she was stronger than. Dude, she was really supposed to be stronger than Netero. We don't know.
Not Netero.
Because Netero never beat his opponents with strength anyway. He won because he was so much faster. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is true.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know, man. It's just, I knew you, I don't know, man. You knew she was serious. And then when she looked at Gon, when she looked at Killua and had that boy so shook. Mm-hmm. But here's my whole thing. We saw how mad Gon got as soon as Kite's arm got ripped off. Do y'all think he would have ascended right then and there, given the opportunity?
No.
That wasn't enough of a figure.
Yeah, because remember, he was, I mean, he was kind of, I don't want to say he was trending that way, but he was sad because he thought Kite was dead. And then, like, the people kind of gave him hope and they're like, we recovered Kite, but he's not the same. So in Gon's mind, they gave him a lot of hope. Like, oh, all we got to do is beat Pito. Because you know how, well, they got to bring Pito in because, you know, even when the Nen person dies, their stuff will still be active unless they deactivate it. So they gave Gon a lot of hope. And then when she sat there like, man, I'm not even going to lie to you since you kept it. Since you told me the truth, I'm going to tell you the truth. He's dead. He's been dead. There's no way to bring him back. So that hope kind of broke him, like snatching that hope away from him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
All he had to do, because he was like, he was already going to fight her for Kite. That's why he was so amped up and serious. But the moment they took that hope away from him, and like Shakir said earlier, you can see like his whole, even in, you can see it in his eyes, like everything inside of him changed.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it's crazy because she was so scared of Gon. She thought she broke him. She thought she had that psychological edge, too. That's why she agreed to fight him, too, at the end. After she told him that, she saw he reacted, that's when she healed herself. You know what I'm saying? She thought she had the edge, but she was so scared, she didn't even want to tell him that. That's crazy.
He had her shook.
And how at the end?
She really thought it was... Bro, you knew he was different, bro. When he sat down right in front of
her... And just waited.
And refused to move. Yeah, he wouldn't even look behind him, but knew everything going on, knew who was lying... knew everything, bro. You knew something was up, bro. Then this nigga calmly took 10 minutes off of her time when
Dude admitted that he left a clone that had left a while ago.
Yeah, that boy said that's 10 minutes off your time.
That's wild.
Oh, man.
Yeah, bro. I love that, just that part, because it's just like, I don't know, I just like seeing like anime characters are happy go lucky, he just go dark out of nowhere. Just like completely off their lockers. And Gon was a great example, just I don't care anymore.
I wonder when they're going to actually pick up episodes, but I'm curious to see what they do with him.
I mean, honestly, it's plenty of material left for the anime to like animate. I just don't know when they're gonna do it.
Right.
If y'all looking for the dubbed episodes, shouts to the plug Shaq. They're on HBO.
What is on HBO Max?
The dubbed episodes.
The dubbed episodes 100.
I was about to say.
Yeah, they got a lot.
I thought
of
you was about
there.
To say they got new episodes on there. I'm about to say, hold on now. Wait.
If they had new episodes, they'd be beating Crunchyroll. That's not happening.
Funimation have dub versions on there, so they might be beating Crunchyroll.
Just because you have dub doesn't mean you're beating somebody. It's the speed at which you grab those, because you know it take like a year or so normally for you know to get the dub. Oh my! Speaking of that, that just reminded me, bro. It's almost July. We about to get the new Seven Deadly Sins season. But you know, back to on topic. Okay, so what were your each of you guys give me your favorite three moments from the arc?
Favorite moments from the arc.
Top three.
Your top Netero three moments. And Killua's grandpa, their appearance. That was dope.
Yep.
Woo! Them niggas rolled down.
Killua removing Illumi's needle and like reaching his full potential. Well, I don't want to say his full potential, but Killua now to what he was, 100 times better. And third, I would just have to say when Gon like forced his body to advance, or like you said, he signed a contract, but when his body changed from 14-year-old to like 35 prime, that was a moment too. Because like I told you guys before, I was a little bit confused when I would see stuff on like, it's like on anime Instagram, like kind of just scrolling through, and I would see a grown version of Gon fighting Pito, and in my mind, I'm thinking, so do the ants take over, and then Gon just trains for like 20 years to come back, or what? So I would have to say that's my third favorite part.
All right, for me, the entire like time when we first seen Gon come in to see Pito towards the end when he was just beating her mercilessly, like that entire part, like that dark version of Gon. Second part most certainly gotta be when Nero and Gunpa Zodak came in on the dragon, like the Nin dragon, they just rolled in.
Oh, that my interest God, is hard.
Them niggas.
Bro, like, oh man. And I think my last one will honestly just have to be when Nero died. Like his actual like death smile.
That was weird.
Yeah, but I was
after
like,
he used that zero attack too, he looked weird as hell.
That's because he used all his like, nins.
He
That's
used what the zero everything. Nins is.
Yeah, what you thought he was going to look like? He looked shriveled up because he had nothing left.
Yeah, that was my favorite part, bro. Actually, no. Lie.
Okay, my top.
When he first caught Melium with the zero hand and he did that blast.
Right.
Okay, for me, let's see here. My first one is definitely off top, gotta be like everybody else. Netero and Zeno coming in might have been the coldest entrance I've ever seen in anime.
That was crazy, bro.
Bruh. It was so trill. They jumped from above the clouds off the dragon onto a nin dragon coming down, and then when P2 thinks she's about to come up and meet him in the air, it goes from the nin dragon into the dragon rain, you know, into dragon drive. So he's spraying the palace, you feel me? And then they meet up with the king, run up on the king, call him off guard, but you know, king wasn't even worried about it. He was emitting that super, the darkest aura anybody had ever seen in history at that point, because you know, he was hurt. But that's my one. My other one, I'm probably in the minority about it, but I thoroughly enjoyed seeing Moro, seeing him go to work with his clouds with his smoke in the very beginning. As soon as they touched down and they decided how they're the plan of attack, that was huge, because it gave us a slight glimpse, and that's when you knew, like, okay, this dude might be different too. Like, this dude carrying around a human sized pipe.
Yeah, that thing is wild.
Okay. And then my other one, I'll go with probably, I know I'm in the minority on this, but I'll go with Killua saving what's his name?
Ikelgo. Oh, okay, yeah. Because became a great asset.
That was, yeah, man. All the ants who flipped became great assets. You know what I'm saying? The plan wouldn't have been possible without them. And like, it also showed just how far Killua had came as a character, as a man. You know, he was willing to save somebody who he gave two options: kill or sacrifice.
Save an enemy, for the most part.
Yeah, man. Like, because he's a killer, and now, you know what I'm saying, he's showing the aptitude to not do it like that. So it was beautiful to see. So those are my
y'all remember how he was during the when they had to face some prisoners, and he killed that mass murderer just instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's what I thought about. Like, I was like, he ain't give him no time, no choices. He was just like death.
Oh yeah, yo. And then something that irritates me too is them here do Killua and Gon get beat the, like, these niggas get beat up all the time.
Who does?
Yeah,
Gon and Killua. Every time you see, like, even when they were fighting the weak ants, they was getting worked.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that just shows how much they've grown towards the end, because Killua got the handle in like two or three at a time in 10 seconds.
He did put them part. Let's not forget, he did reach that god form and put that power on Yuppie.
Yeah, that pissed Yuppie off even more, bro. He was...
Because he first struck him with that lightning, you feel me? He did that Sasuke lightning
style.
Oh,
yeah. Then caught him all the way off guard.
Wow.
I forgot.
Same. That boy the strike was so powerful, he froze him enough for Knuckles to get in. I think it was like 8
and then
goals.
Run.
Take off.
That boy was good for running. He was good for running, Knuckles.
He said that too.
Sometimes the best thing to do is a tactical retreat, because it was not happening.
Okay, so. I'm sorry, bro. I just read this tweet. Y'all niggas gonna laugh. So, Last Chance U announces this is their final season of basketball, and Last Chance U basketball is coming. I mean, Last Chance U announces this is the final season of football. And they announced that Last Chance U basketball is coming in 2021. Somebody said nobody wants to watch Last Chance U basketball. I see that.
On God, though.
Hey, you are.
OB, bro. On me. Everybody in gym got a story about how they could have went
but
to the league.
The coach didn't play me. The coach wouldn't let me do this and that. Like, all right, bro. You got it.
You win.
It's your story. Tell it how you want it to be heard.
Yeah, it's I'm sorry.
Oh, you good?
But all right. So now we on to the final two segments of the show. Today it'll be on the King. So we're gonna talk the Ant King, and then we'll wrap it up. You know, we'll give final thoughts. So what do y'all think about the Ant King himself?
I like this growth.
Yeah, that he might be the most well-developed character I've ever seen in anime. Seriously, his arc. People forget he ripped his way out of his mom's womb.
Killed her.
Then killed two other ants.
Yep, I'll rip.
Tasted the ants and decided they were disgusting. Went and killed two children in the field. Spit out their brain immediately because he said it wasn't like what he was used to feasting on in his mother's womb. Like, bruh. I was like, this nigga here, man. I was like, now I understand hating ants. I was like, man, I hate these niggas. I can't wait to see them. The good guys gotta win, yeah. Right? But then, you know, he met Komugi, because, you know, he was killing off, like, y'all heard of a thousand, what is it called? A Thousand Nights in Arabia? Y'all know what I'm talking about? The story of Ali Baba?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay, this felt like the same thing, because for you guys who don't know the story, I got the name wrong, but you can look up Ali Baba and get it. Ali Baba was a king who killed his wife after every night. He would behead her the next morning. Nobody would survive after the night. So one day, one of his wives began telling him a story so compelling. It's called like a something tale. She told him a story so compelling, he couldn't kill her. He had to, you know, he had to keep her alive so he could hear the next part the next night. She kept this up for the rest of her life.
Wow.
And it felt like the same thing going on with the Ant King, because he was killing off the world's best at all these games after they would lose. But here comes Komugi, who just refuses to lose. And she wasn't even trying in the beginning.
Right.
You know, so it's wild.
I think it's because he was thinking like humans were always below him, and like he could be anybody, and he was the first human he actively acknowledged as like being worthy enough as like, okay, she could slip being my rival. And then it went from rival to like love in my eyes.
Yeah, it was the dude went from this cruel, sadistic ruler to this understanding. And it wasn't like some Fugazi type of, character development. It wasn't like he just suddenly went from one extreme to the other. It was such a beautiful, gradual process that took place over, you know, it took place over a board game.
Right. I mean, when I think of, like, the King, honestly, he might have, like, a top three character development of, like, any anime. Because, like you said, he started out a savage. And if you go from that to the end, when he resurrected, just how compassionate he is, how loving he is, how she became basically the most important thing to him. Like, he doesn't even care about being the strongest. He doesn't care about taking over the world. All he wants to do is spend time with her. So I was going to say, he probably has some of the best character development, along with Vegeta, that I've seen in all anime.
Yeah,
when he was resurrected, man. And he had UP and Pooh's powers, he was definitely OP.
You know, and y'all know, and you know the craziest part, y'all? Huh. The King was the most powerful. He was so powerful, he never even had to train.
Never trained.
But two, he was so powerful, he never developed any nin usage. He might be the worst nin user in history. He used raw strength alone. He never used nin.
That's wild. He just used straight speed and hands.
Yeah.
He used no nin whatsoever.
That's wild.
So just think about that.
He used no nin. Didn't even know what nin was. Didn't need it. That's crazy. He didn't need, in a world where nin rules, he didn't need it.
That shows you how powerful.
You can even go back to the you can even go back to the Hunter arc, like when Illumi was using his nin on Killua and intimidated him. Like Killua didn't even know what that was, and he got him to quit without even fighting.
Dog, when he found out he was done, bro, I don't care what nobody says, he might have the saddest death in anime. It's got to be up there. Bro, I cried. I cried real tears when Miriam died.
That is sad, bro. He changed. He was a whole... changed his whole life, right? He was a whole different person. That's wild.
He was losing his eyesight. It was crazy. He was willing to work to beg. What's her name?
Who? Sorry to Pete.
No.
Pearl.
Pearl? No. No.
It's not Pearl.
It's not Pearl, bro. What's her name? Shaq. What's her name?
Shaq. Right.
Shaq was the
right. I can't remember the name about
what
you talking about.
It starts with what happened? What was Nob's apprentice name? Or
Palm. Okay, yeah, Palm. That's it.
Yeah. He was willing to beg Palm just for her location, just for location in Komugi so he could spend his last moments with her, bro. Like for him to die how he did? Yeah, bro, like all he wanted to do, bro, like I want to go out, bro. Spending time with the ones you care about, bro. Game. No, nigga, spending time with the people you care and love, bro.
Oh.
He was willing to sacrifice it, and she was willing to sacrifice her life just to spend his final moments together. You know, with him, with to spend, so he could use his final moments with her.
Right.
Because he told her like, you're going to be poisoned, you know, if you choose to stay here. She started crying. Can I not be so happy at this moment?
She just kicked it with him.
And then he starts. Then he loses his eyesight. So he's like, "Come again? Will you hold my hand?" She's like, "Yes." You know, he's like, he keeps asking Komugi, "Are you there?" Because, you know, he can't see anything.
Else. See, that's...
You know, it's like, she can't see either.
Right.
Nico over there crying.
Right, crying on the podcast.
And man, I remember them tears he had in his eyes when he ate them tacos.
Ha! Nico, they wasn't even hot, bro.
I'm saying, bro.
Nope.
Weak ass.
Bro, what, man? Stop playing.
You and
with
Kayla
me.
Didn't know what y'all was talking me, about.
Boy.
Dog, those are the nobody wanted. Why chicken don't need to always be, why couldn't you do two batches? Chicken doesn't always have
bro,
to
I didn't
be.
Why even put that much
bro,
in like, it?
What?
No, it
bro,
was
you
not
put
that
the whole
spicy.
Bottle in it.
Thank you.
Bro, you're right. It was spicier than that.
Two to one. 2-1, you lose.
It's 2-2 because somebody else agreed with me.
Kayla don't know what she's talking about.
So
they weren't hot.
Yeah,
y'all don't know truth, baby.
Dude, I'm not about to. I'm not about arguing about what was hot. You know it was hot,
bro. I ate the same tacos you did, bro.
You eat your own food, of course.
All right, man.
Anyway, final thoughts on the Ant arc, y'all. So we can wrap.
My
up.
Final thought. The only thing I'm gonna say about it, it was probably, especially coming off a confusing Greed Island arc, the Kamar and the.
That
Chimera
no
Ant
sense,
arc
bro.
Was one of the best arcs I've ever seen, just from a plot twist, character development, and just the characters in it in general. Probably one of the best arcs I've watched.
The only part about Greed Island arc that even registered in my head was seeing Jing sitting on a beast. And they all said the same thing, because he was like, boom. And another one said, boom. And then the big one said, boom, too. But okay, what's your takeaway, Shaq?
Shit got crazy. Like honestly, because I came in the Hunter on the Kamea and Art, so I didn't know what was going on. I was just like, dang, like people getting messed up off rip.
Right.
But I honestly, like, for me, even though I came in, it was a good arc for me to come in on, because it kind of like, I still kind of knew what was going on, even though I didn't see the previous arcs.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me want to like go back and like watch everything again.
Yeah, good point. So also, you started at the Chimera and I had to go back.
Yep.
Damn. Nico?
My final thoughts, it is truly one of the top three arcs in anime history. From the character development to, that was one of the few times narration was actually needed, because the narration reminds you how much time it passed. Some of the abilities that, you know, normally in anime, not only do they shout out their moves they're about to do, they explain them in depth. Well, in this case, we didn't have any of that. It was all explained by the narrator.
Except for Gon, well placed narration.
Boy, that's the longest move.
Bro, he just be there chilling.
I hate his attack, bro. Like, in real life, who's gonna wait for that?
Man, clearly, I don't even know, man. But I thought it was just such a well-paced arc. It was plenty of depth. It's one of the few arcs where it felt like the minor characters became even more important than your main cast. Because I became significantly more interested in the stories of all these Chimera Ants that were both flipping to the good side or generally having their past as humans explored than I was in hearing anything or seeing Gon, Killua, Nob, Moral, any of them, honestly. So it's one of the best arcs I have ever seen or read. So that's my final thoughts.
Well, all right, man. That was the anime portion of, I believe this is going to be episode 8, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. So thanks for Shaq for coming back again, man. Shaq's been a regular for the last couple episodes. And, you know, welcome Nico back. You know, he wasn't here for the interview. I had to do that one myself. But, you know, everybody's back, man. And we're going to be back for...
What you trying to say?
Hey, man. We're going to be back for the second part, for the sports section. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll get with y'all a little bit later. Bye.
All right. Peace.